Do you have, for lack of a better term, spiritual disciplines? You know, patterned behaviors or thoughts that keep you kind of, what, centered? Or at least as close to center as is possible? I do. It is often a challenge, incidentally, to stand here in this pulpit week after week and year after year. Were it not for spiritual practices, I find it very improbable that I would have survived all the years that I have been doing this task. Even the task of walking up these two steps every Sunday for the better part of the last 11 years is an act of spiritual discipline for me. I believe, you see, that in spite of my character flaws, my sarcasm, my lack of faith in so many traditional beliefs, and any number of things that I don't do well or that I simply fail at, I believe that God, all that is holy, is willing to use me still, and that in the midst of my imperfections, and some amount of spiritual truth may escape around the edges of my work. How about you? Do you allow God to be at work in you, to be seen through you? Remember that old bedtime prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. Should I die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. It was a horrible going to bed prayer when I was a child. But, you know, life changes, right? As I get seriously older and so very close to death, it makes more sense to me, this prayer. However, I still take offense that we need to pray to God to love our soul, as if God does not. In my spirituality, no one needs to worry that God does not love us. The question that is more meaningful to me has to do with how we allow our lives to be held beside and intimately with the great love of God. Let's not wait until we die to hold our lives humbly beside the reality of God. Each of us needs to spend time each day, maybe multiple times a day, seeking to find ourselves intimately in the presence of all that is holy, and to allow those moments with God to surround our lives, all aspects of our lives, all aspects. The people we have been needs to be relationally confessed to God. Who we are today also. The directions that we are pointed to go in our tomorrows also needs to be laid bare before the divine lures of God. So too need to be shared with God our hopes, our fears, our guilt, our self-talk, our complaints, our whines. All of those need to be brought to those moments every day. Many of us, I suspect, simply fear that we will find in those intimate moments with God and our souls more judgment than we think we can bear. In my spiritual moments of being one with God, there is judgment in those moments. But you know, most of it simply comes from me, from my inner demons and voices that demand perfection. From God, I mainly get understanding, along with that inner urge, what I believe to be the call of God that asks me, what am I going to do now today in the light of what we have come to understand anew? I have forgiveness from God and perhaps myself to act anew in my life. Spiritual direction in my moments with God informs all of my living, at work, at home, at rest, and in suggesting to me directions for where I need to be moving next. And yes, at times that includes needing to ask forgiveness for my bold-faced worst moments, as well as discovering, this is bigger than forgiveness, I think, as well as discovering a gentleness toward myself that allows me to give myself a break and heal the many places in me that are broken. How about you? How about you? Can you give yourselves the moments to be with God? I'd like to suggest a starting place that I have found to be the most simple entry space for me, and that is thankfulness. Are there things each evening as I lay me down to sleep that I am thankful for in the midst of my day? I might just be the weird person out here, and I'm comfortable doing that. But thankfulness for a couple of things out of my day seems to loosen up that inner straitjacket that I live in that demands perfection in all things, which, of course, I fail at 100% of the time. But when I begin in thankfulness, I am less negatively critical of my imperfections. And if the truth be told, I am even nicer to those that I have fought with or that I find disgusting or disappointing. Thankfulness, just by beginning with something as simple as the red leaves of autumn, and to be thankful that they have lived their lives fully to reach these moments of beauty before falling to the ground, gives my soul, it seems, room to breathe. It might yours as well. In my thankfulness journey this week, I have the greatest desire to be more than silent about them. I work in the midst of some of the most talented, sincere, challenging, and spiritually growing people. I mean nothing less than pure thankfulness for the privilege of coming to work every day. I don't dread it, I look forward to it, well, nearly always, and to the challenges that it is calling me toward. I have worked here at First United with some extremely talented people through the years, and those that are gone, I just miss them. But I and we have to live in the present. For the better part of 11 years, I worked daily with our office manager, Lisa Stanger. Don't tell her I said these things, okay? If you don't know her, please walk in and find a reason to meet her. She manages our day-to-day business with a nearly calm demeanor. She is sensitive. She cares about the primary mission of First United. I am so thankful for her. Every Wednesday at 1, our staff of Shelley Yoder, Vinny, and Derek meet to plan worship themes, build our relationships, be concerned for us as a congregation as we seek to be a meaningful presence in our larger community and world. What a delightful team we have right now. They are all brilliant people with a belief that what we do together can and should make a difference. And that's on Wednesdays that we meet. On Tuesday at noon, I gather with our president, vice president, immediate past president, and Derek for lunch. And we have occasional visits from others in our administrative structure here at First United. These folks meet weekly. If you're part of that team, you're stuck on there for 6 years. We meet weekly. And some of it has to do with team building and valuing each other so that when the work of doing church becomes whatever it is, we know each other, we trust each other. It takes weekly focus and discipline for us to operate well, and we are being led by absolutely superior, thoughtful, spiritually growing women and men. If you didn't know, we have monthly meetings of our major boards and committees. They do all the nuts and bolts of everything that happens at our location, from solar panels to communion wine, education and fellowship groups, to writing checks to pay our bills and support any number of things that we value as a congregation. People who need assistance come to this church daily, and many receive monetary help through your and my giving to the Love Fund. You have those little envelopes perhaps in front of you. They should be in, if you get a box full of envelopes. There's a love fund envelope in there. 100% of what you stick in those love fund envelopes helps someone with sincere needs that have been well vetted before checks are written. Harold Fiskus over here oversees that program. He makes multiple trips a week to church to be the one that serves others. But in all honesty, his hand is really just our hands. I am thankful for all that at some considerable cost to your time and energy that you give of yourselves to make this organization purr along. We have, kind of boring, but we have a sincerely good functional financial system that accounts for and manages all the money that you and I give to make this church happen. Kyle Hetrick, John Spain, Gene Cook, Don Shelton, Donna Smith keep our well-defined system just in working order. We manage a yearly budget, if you don't know, we manage a yearly budget of just right at $450,000 plus an endowment of just over $2 million. Not just on our good days, not just when you're checking, but every day we know where our dollars that we give are and where they are going. I cannot say strongly enough that we have a phenomenal financial team that I, and I trust we, are greatly thankful for. Now, I know I'm talking to the choir here, not just that choir, but the metaphorical choir. We have organizational structures at First United, and we need to have them, but every structure we have has a purpose beyond structural integrity, and that purpose is for our organization to reflect the presence of God, to be the presence of God, to be experienced not as structure, but as the actual aspect of God, the being of God through our actions and our spirit. I am thankful that more often than not, you and I pull that off with a high degree of integrity. Now, as you're acutely aware, perhaps, I preach from here nearly every Sunday. I am thankful that you still believe that it's okay that I do that. And when I say that I am imperfect, I am not saying that to garner support for my imperfections or for you just to be nice to me. I try every day to be more than I was yesterday. And I am thankful that I'm still able to accept what yet might be in my life and my work as I struggle to be a faithful follower of this way of Jesus of Nazareth. This church as an organization needs all of us in so many ways. When this church moved from downtown out to this location in 1956, this church had over 900 members. That's a lot of people. Today, our membership hovers at around the 230 to 240 mark. Average church attendance back in the day was 48 Sundays a year. Today, the average is closer to 27 Sundays a year. Society, we have moved to a different place in regard to the importance or our ability, perhaps, of church attendance. I am thankful for our devotion to making this community meaningful for us and for those we believe that we are called upon to serve. For the last 8 years, you have been a home to the homeless. We created beds with freshly laundered sheets, and pillowcases. We have served good food and provided a safe place for as many as 70 people a night through the cold winter months. You came and are still coming, providing volunteer assistance in making a home for the homeless in your church. It's a signature piece of what you believe to be most true, that when we serve the homeless, we are seeing in them the very presence of God in our lives. When you do it for one of the least of these, we're reminded we're doing it with God. Church, this is the sermon in a sentence. Church exists to be an extension of the reality of the ongoing love of God for our world. That's why we exist. It is not serving, if it is not serving the church, If the church is not serving the basic physical and spiritual needs of us and others, then we deserve to be kicked to the curb of life. I am so thankful for how hard you work to make sure we stay on target. It is a sincere balancing act, these lives of ours. It's not always simple to be able to give as many of you do so well. Now, in the upcoming month, we will be doing our best to encourage each of us to financially give toward our shared mission, boringly called our operating budget. Does your gift, your giving, make a difference? Well, yes, it does. Last month, in the midst of the hurricane relief work that needed funding, we talked about how our giving would provide exactly the sort of help that those doing long-term recovery would need. It's so easy to believe the opposite, that our gifts are so nominal in the face of the huge crises that exist in our world. Our children, I don't know if you remember, we gave them all envelopes. Our children filled, you should have seen them, they filled their offering envelopes to bursting with pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. Not only do they believe in giving, they also believe us. And that's perhaps more important, that we have the presence in those communities to make sure that each of those coins will bring not only good food and water and 2x4s to rebuild, but that they will come with a smile of concern for the well-being of the whole person that we're helping. We have, incidentally, nearly as many family-related denominational churches in Puerto Rico as we have churches in Monroe County. On our American Baptist side alone, we are physically present and handing out aid and food every day since that disaster, and it's not going to stop. We just sent $3,200, something like that. Giving is good for us. Giving through strong organizations that focus on making sure the maximum dollars gifted get through the maze of bureaucracy is critical. Our church organization on both the UCC and ABC side do 100% pass-through of emergency funds. Nothing is taken out for administrative cost. We churches have had our moments of not being the best stewards of the money gifted to us. But right now, I am so thankful and so proud that we are able to accomplish with our giving such as we do. No gift is too small. Those pennies were not too small for what matters ultimately. And we've never received a gift so big not to be able to place it where it can maximize its effectiveness. When we were gifted with $1 million gift for our endowment, we immediately did what we ask others to do. We gave some of it to a very good cause. We sent $100,000 to Community Kitchen toward the opening of that new facility. Churches ought to give as freely as we ask each other to give. We need all of us to step in, not up, just step in, and be part of all aspects of this organization that seeks to be the presence of God through our united efforts. I simply invite you to step in with me. Let's do it together. Be a giver, please. Giving is a spiritual discipline. Please consider giving significantly to First United. Trust like our children do, that together we will invest ourselves as an organization to be reflective of the ways of Jesus of Nazareth, the one that we believe calls us forward. Amen.